It's here. It's coming.
You could get the latest news. It's all on YouTube at
Ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing? It's your motherfucking boy, Gamero, the Pharaoh, the poor man's Robert De Niro. You know what I'm talking about, bald version, but still beautiful. You know what I'm saying? And the man before me, you know what I'm saying, is also an astute bald friend of mine. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man. Oh, and before I get to introducing the powerhouse of a guest that we have today, ladies and gentlemen, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? You go on Apple Podcasts, you go on Deezer, you go on Spotify, but most of all, you go on YouTube. That's why we got 72 damn cameras in here. You know what I'm saying? Hit that subscribe button and stay up to date every Thursday at midnight with our brand new guests. And speaking of guests, ladies and gentlemen, how do I muster up the courage to introduce such a talented man? You know what I'm saying? We had a damn private listening party before this episode commenced, and it was beautiful. Oh, so beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what I'm saying? Several times in the Midnight in Miami history, we have had a plethora of guests, you know what I'm saying? And in these plethora of guests, several stand out. Sometimes.
This is really good.
You know what I'm saying? And the man before me is one of those standout guests. You know what I'm saying? Not only from the fact that he is one of the most talented individuals that I've ever met, had the privilege to encounter, to have our paths diverge, if you will, but more than anything, the man is pure. The man is true. You know what I'm saying? I could tell the man had a good soul from the moment that I met him. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what I'm saying? It's not the first time that you see him, and it definitely will not be the last, because this is one of our brand new guests. Co-host on the Midnight in Miami set. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my absolute honor to be able to introduce Marcel Legend. Yeah, and they stuck into the glass too. That's nice.
I got two. I think I shot five. I got two of five.
Oh, damn, my brother. How are you?
What a hell of an intro.
I try. You know what I'm saying? I try.
We're back.
We're back. Oh, man.
Back, you beautiful fucks. We're here.
We are also very glad.
Brought some bourbon this time.
Yes, you did. Oh, man.
I didn't bring anything last time. Shame on me.
Oh,
normally,
man.
I travel with a gift.
That's beautiful.
When I'm invited into someone's space. And this time I came.
The man came correct.
With some bourbon. Yes. I had to.
I appreciate that. And I'm going to partake with you.
In infinitely recyclable cups. Oh, damn. It just dropped off the glass.
Oh, man.
Let's get a damn sponsorship, of course. Let me get a little bit.
Ball, where you at? Ball. Let's get a damn sponsorship.
We're using your cups,
baby.
Bullet, bourbon. Come on. Let's get something.
I don't know how much you.
Oh, please.
Okay.
Please.
I'm
going to hold this the whole interview. I've been holding this the last. We've been here for like what? Like an hour and a half? I've been holding this for like an hour and a half.
It's like a power move, you know?
Yeah, kind of a little bit.
And with the with those tattoos, with that paint on your hand, damn. You look like you're ready.
Yeah,
oh, man.
I'm just a nice guy, though. This is all deceptive.
Yeah?
Just a nice guy.
Marcel, talk to me, my brother. What is new? What's been going on as of late? First of all, thank you so much for that listening party before we started shooting.
Of course. I'm glad you were receptive of everything that I played.
Man.
What's been going on? So last time I was here was February of last year, right? So since then, therapy.
Respect.
Therapy's been great.
Okay.
Therapy was good. I'm getting married.
Okay. Congratulations.
I'm getting
congratulations.
Married.
Okay. Wow.
Getting married. Yeah. We're getting married in a few months.
Wow.
So we're getting there. I spent all of last year with my team, musicians, writers, finished a project, which, this gentleman keeps alluding to. So prior to the tapes rolling and the audio being recorded, I played him the entire project that we had spent 2021 creating. And yeah, that's where I'm at.
And that's the highlight of my week, honestly. You know what I'm saying? Oh yeah.
Nah, I appreciate it. But yeah, just been trying to figure out this year has been challenging in its own ways. I think I'm not you know, any different from anyone else. I feel like everyone's kind of been going through their own challenges and things of that nature, getting in their own way, their own fears, holding them back and stuff like that. And just trying to figure this shit out, you know? Right. And yeah. So, but that's what I've been up to. Just living regular life shit. That's it.
Regular life shit. You gotta love it. Talk to me. Have you gotten any new tattoos since the last time that I saw you?
2021, February 2021. So this one on the back of my forearm, which is
okay.
It's a, we'd probably have to, and this is the part where you edit a picture of the
tattoo, yeah, yeah, right? You know what I'm saying? Shout out Juan the editor. That boy's the truth. Right there.
Yeah,
know?
So this is actually a line drawing by an artist by the name of Nikki. She's amazing.
And shout out Nikki.
And this is my niece, and this is an actual real picture of my niece sticking up her middle finger. And the story behind it is that she had a cut on her middle finger.
Oh.
And so my brother-in-law continued to ask her, hey, let me see your cut. And she would just
that's do beautiful. Like
this. So there's a photo of her that we took this from. I had her write her name on a piece of paper and I added it to this. I had that. I think we did New Orleans last year, and I got this this dustpan with the broken heart, and I got that in New Orleans. I think the Love Dealer tattoo's new. I think I got some thotty thigh tattoos.
Okay, yeah, all
I
right.
Got, I got a few.
All right, we'll save that for the only Midnight of Miami OnlyFans. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You know, if you want to subscribe,
you know what I'm saying. There we go.
You want to pay some of our bills? You know what I'm saying? Want to pay some of our bills?
Hell yeah! You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Talk to me about this wedding. How are the preparations coming along? You know what I'm saying? Is it as nerve-wracking as they make it seem like on the movies?
So I think it just depends on the couple. I think it depends on what the couple wants. I think
By the way, that is the most fashionable couple that I know. Good Lord. That's a fashionable couple.
That's all her. I feel like I dress just like regular, but that's all her. She's the fashionable one. But you know, for us, I can't stress enough, just date people that like you and that love you and that you get along with and that understand you, because at the end of the day, that's, you know, we've just agreed and we just had real conversations. What would you want? What do you expect out of the wedding? What do I want? What do I expect at a wedding? And we're just so alike that we kind of, even without, you know, her expressing what she wants and me expressing what I want, they kind of were very, very similar. You know, we don't want anything too overly complicated. You know, we want it very kind of DIY-ish and just very authentic and very intimate. And it's crazy I say intimate, but there's like about 100 people being invited to the ceremony. But even still within that, we're trying to figure out, we figured out how to make it our own and make it intimate in our own way, and it's not been super stressful. And I think that was going into this, that was important for me. I said, I do not want this, what is supposed to be a special day for us, it's not going to be the most special day of our lives, because if we are committing to one another for the rest of our lives, we're going to have multiple special days. You know, when we have kids, you know, when they're born, that's going to be an amazing day. That might be even more special than our wedding day. We don't know.
Right.
But this is a special day for us up until this point, and probably one of the most special days. And the last thing I want to do is stress about this. So everything that we've put to paper, everything that we've set out to do has not been super stressful. And I think it's just about just action in it, and we're looking forward to just bringing in that day with our family, our friends, and I don't even know if I could say friends, like if people, it's family, it's a community thing, you know, and it really, you hear the term, it takes a village to raise a child, and it's, the same goes for cultivating relationships, you know, and it takes a village. It's It's this family and that family and this friend group and this friend group, and making sure that everyone wants the best for this couple, this union, this relationship. And so we're looking forward to it. It's not been super stressful whatsoever. And that is exactly what her and I set out to do. We didn't want this. The moment we start stressing, the moment we need to take a step back and say, why are we stressing about this? Let's reevaluate this. Is this thing that we're stressing about something that we really need or want for this day? If it's not, it's not about compromising. Maybe we just don't even need it. And let's just get rid of it. I want this day to be super fucking simple.
Hell yeah.
To be simple. I want her to be happy. I want to be happy. I've implemented this new saying, like the whole happy wife, happy life shit is bullshit. I'm trying to implement a happy me, happy we.
Oh, look at you.
Because I think it's important for both men and women to be their best selves and be happy within themselves so they can present them their best selves. And not even their best selves in a way of perfection, but meeting their partner where they can. You know what I'm saying? Again, we're imperfect. And that's why you decide to dedicate your life to a person, because they love you through your imperfections. So if I'm happy, I could be the best version of myself that I need to be for her. And the same thing with her. I want her to be happy. I want her to do the things in her everyday life that make her happy, to be the best version that she needs to be and wants to be for me. And just so happy me, happy we. I feel like that's such a universal thing that men and women can just really embody when you're, you know, developing a relationship and building a bond. And that's where we're at. Like, it's honestly not been a stressful process whatsoever, I have to say. Can you agree? Yes or no?
There we go. See?
She agrees. I'm not lying.
There we go.
This is no cap. I'm not bullshitting.
There we go.
She agrees.
We got the receipts.
Yeah, we got the receipts. Yeah, she said there's no pressure. There's no pressure. She's not lying.
Happy me, happy we.
Happy me, happy we. I think it's like important to that. It's important to and the word relationship, it's not even a romantic relationship, in friendship, in your relationship with your siblings, with your parents. Like, there's a responsibility. When you give someone a title, there is a responsibility that both parties have to hold up to. There's expectations, and if I am not my happiest, or not even my happiest, if I'm not being as real as I need to be with myself, I can't be what you need me to be to you, you know? And I think vulnerability and transparency in all relationships, romantic friendships, again, family relationships, it's important, you know? And I think, that's what this whole process of planning the wedding has just been. It's been that. It's been easy for her. Like, if she's worried about something, she can express it to me without feeling like I'm going to, you know, meet her with attitude or a different energy or anything like that. And the same thing for me. Like, it's, man, just fucking fall in love with people that you like, bro.
Hey.
That's my best advice.
Hell,
that's it.
Yeah.
That is it. That's real. Like, it's, I know it's, I'm making it sound easier than it really is, but, you know, you see the things that people post and the podcasts of everyone giving dissertations on relationships and dating and shit like that. And to be quite honest with you, I know finding a kindred spirit, someone that you're supposed to be with is difficult. It's out of our control. I'm not taking away from that. What I think we need to do better is understand ourselves, understand the things that we want, understand the things that we are willing to compromise on, and just find someone that meets you on the same, like, meets you halfway and meets you on the same island that you're trying to build and create. Like, maybe not an island, that sounds like isolated, but that was a horrible fucking example. But that's what I mean by it. Just date people that you like, that right. you can stand to be around and you don't want to be away from. And it's not an obsession thing, but you just love being around them. Even in a room when you're not talking, just love being around you. I love having you in my presence. And I everyone's a love expert. I'm not an expert. This is just my experience that I'm expressing.
Oh, Lord knows I'm not a love expert. You know what I'm saying? Like, if there's one, you know, like, oh.
So do we have to have a conversation? Let me know. Tell me about your excursions of love.
What would you say is something that you want the people to know about you in regards to, you know, a brand new co-host? How would you, you know, say, how would you describe yourself to the people if you were to give some, you know, some highlights as to what it is that you like to do outside of the artistic realm?
It's hard to say that there's a life outside of the artistic realm. I think anybody who is artistic, it's embedded in them. It's a part of their life. There's no inside, outside. There's no clocking in, clocking out. It is, you are who you are. You know what I'm saying? So if you're artistic, whether you're a singer, you're a rapper, you're an instrumentalist, you're an actor, you're a dancer, it is you. Like, as a singer, I just find myself doing riffs at a random moment in time, right? Like, I'm sure those that are dancers, they find themselves doing some kind of dance move randomly in their fucking kitchen, or they're walking in some aisle and maybe Publix and they do something, and it's just like, it's just really who you are. So there's no outside for me. Like, I am who I am, and for me, I'm just all about vulnerability, authenticity, you know, being you know, just really embracing our imperfections, our brokenness. And, you know, and obviously we'll touch on the whole Ladu and the broken thing later, but that's just who I am. I feel like, and we had this conversation prior to us taping, some of the most beautiful things about the internet and what it's allowed us to do are also some of the worst things about the internet and some of the things that it's allowed us to do. And I'm just tired of the podcast and, you know, of men creating podcasts to belittle women and women creating podcasts to belittle men. It's there's so much division already rooted in the history of our country, the history of so many things. Why the fuck do we need more podcasts that just pit us against each other?
Are you referring to, like, for example, Andrew Tate?
I'll be quite honest with you. I'm ignorant to some of these things. And I do that purposely because I don't want to watch something and allow it to bleed into my perception of how I see certain things.
Okay.
I've heard the name Andrew Tate. I may have seen some of the content. I don't know what the content is. So if there's a specific example that you might want my opinion on, I'm here for it. But that question, I don't even know who that, right, like, I don't know who that is. And for me, and here's why. For me, it's, I feel like, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but I feel like there's just individuals with some of the biggest platforms that have some of the most fucked up minds and mentalities, and not even minds, but the fucked up hearts and where their content is rooted from. And for me, my content, anything that I really try to speak to on a public platform, even in a personal platform, anybody can tell you, is my shit comes rooted from love. It comes rooted from authenticity, comes rooted from understanding. And there are people in my life that we don't always agree on certain things, but that does not stop us from loving one another. It doesn't stop us from understanding one another, and it doesn't stop us from building one another. So I guess to answer your question, my shit, no matter what it is always rooted from love and from a good place. I'm not here to say I'm a good person. I'm not here to say I'm a bad person. I am whoever you think I am. And so some of these, again, to your point, Andrew Tate or others, I don't know what their content looks like. Again, I may have come across it, but I've also might've turned a blind eye to it.
Right.
But that's because I believe in what I believe in. You know, I've had my own experiences, but I'm also here to learn from others' experiences, others' perspectives, others' mistakes. Like, that's why I love having conversations in real time, in real life, with real people outside of the Instagrams and the Twitters and the social medias, because this is real shit.
Hell yeah.
Like, that, like this shit right here to me is not real.
No.
And I think we have, as a people, have become so engulfed in this thing and really given off this idea of perfection that is not rooted in reality. Because, like, people are not as well off as they come across.
Right.
So for me, What I bring is just authenticity, and I just want to connect with people. Like, as a songwriter and an artist, as a singer, that's the biggest value out of everything that I do. I don't, you know, obviously you want to get to a point where you're making money off of this thing. It's a business. I get that. But some of my most memorable things that I take, the most valuable things for me, are the connections that I build in some of these sessions. How I interact with these songwriters or producers, and how our relationship builds over time, and how our chemistry builds over time to really show itself into the product. That shit is worth like the weight of gold to me.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I just feel like everything is chase a bag, chase a bag, chase a bag, get this, do for this money. You know, turn this into a business, and it's just like, yo, and I know there's a deeper rooted problem and why everyone's like this, but I think we need to start seeing the value in relationships and connection and having conversations in real time, and not closing yourself off to learning about someone in a 15-20 minute conversation. That shit could really change your life.
Oh yeah.
And maybe not even yours. And I feel like I'm going on a fucking tangent.
But that's what the show is. It's just a bunch of tangents.
So I'm not fucking done. Hold on. But like, everything is about me. How does it serve me? It's not always about us. It's not about serving us. Maybe we're serving others.
Right.
Maybe we're changing others' lives. And what's really fucked up about the everything that's being showcased on a popular basis through social media is because if it's not feeding us, it's not worth anything. It's not valuable. Why not? Why do I always have to gain something from something or someone? It's not about me all the time. If I have a conversation for 20 minutes and I walk away and in my mind I say, I don't know if I learned anything new, I enjoyed the conversation, but that person walks away from, holy shit, that conversation potentially, you know, has changed my perspective about how I look at so-and-so and so. You did your job. Like, our life on this planet is but a blip to the existence of time.
Oh yeah.
And so if in one interaction, in one moment, you can change someone's perspective on something, and which potentially changes someone's life, there's so much worth in that shit. It won't show up in your bank account. You can't buy a fucking car with it. You can't buy fucking jewelry with it. You can't buy anything with it. But the fact that you changed someone's life just from a fucking conversation, we need to start putting more value into that shit. And unfortunately, that shit, that's un-Instagrammable. And that's the problem.
Are you still willing to entertain a 15-20 minute conversation with someone whom you completely 150% disagree with on the most important of topics?
It's yes and yes and no. I think there's a way you have to go about it. You know, ignorance is alive. You know, there's a lot of, again, going back to something I said earlier, deeper rooted issues within our country. There's so much division already rooted in the history of our country. So there's certain lines that I'm sensitive to, I guess you can say. I'm willing to entertain some of these conversations. Where my line is, where I'm like, no, I can't do it. I'm done. I can't tell you. Okay. I haven't been in a situation like that yet. But I've been in situations where we've fallen on opposite sides of the coin. But there was a respect there. There was I'm not talking over you, you're not talking over me. I'm not yelling at you, I'm not disrespecting you, and vice versa. So there was a very, very healthy confrontation there. And this is something my best friend and I always talk about, the word conflict. I think conflict, as we've come to know it, has such a negative connotation to it, right? But there is such a thing as healthy conflict. And healthy conflict, the result of healthy conflict, could look like an argument. But what that is at the root is communication. And if two people know how to communicate with one another and can learn how to communicate with one another, then you can find resolution in that conflict, you know? So I haven't been in a situation where the other party was completely ignorant, has crossed a line that I said, no, I can't. I can't have this conversation with you because you're not ready to have this conversation. I'm sure if I get to a point, I'll handle myself accordingly, hopefully, fingers crossed. But I've been to answer your question, I've been in conversations where we've been on, if the line is here, right. I've been here, the person's been here. And, right. And even at the end, dap up, love, and that's it. We move on. Yeah. We move on.
So I don't know your religious or your political beliefs, but if you were to sit across from someone whom had the complete opposite religious or political beliefs, would that be an issue or no?
I mean, at what point is that being discussed? Because I feel like in our everyday life, we're interacting with people.
That's true.
That have, for all we know.
For all we know, yeah.
Have opposite religious and political beliefs. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. And I feel, I find comfort in saying, I don't know.
Hell yeah.
Do I have my own beliefs? Abso-fucking-lutely. Do I have things that I'm willing to compromise on? Yes. Do I have things that I'm willing to not compromise on? Absolutely. But
right.
I have my foundational values are there. And, you know, we speak of foundation. It's rooted. Like, I'm not budging. Has nothing to do with opinions. Has nothing to do with perspective. Has nothing to do with that. But I have foundational values that I'm willing to drive forward in any conversation that I'm having. Those things don't budge. Life is not black and white. It's very gray. Mm-hmm. There's very few things of absolute in this world. So if I feel one thing right now and you and I have a conversation and you arm me with information that I didn't have before, my perspective could absolutely change. But I feel like because of what really, really fucking sucks is on a public forum, individuals, you know, more, I guess let's say celebrities, you know, individuals like that are more high profile, they get called hypocrites, they contradicting something they said. Is it hypocritical if you at one point you said one thing and then you changed your views weeks, months, maybe years later, but you changed because you were given different information? I don't think that's hypocritical. I think it's you learned.
Right.
You were given new information. Now there's a difference between being ignorant by choice and being ignorant because you just don't know. There's a difference there.
Mm-hmm.
People are ignorant by choice.
Oh, yeah.
Because they just love it. They just love fighting.
Oh, yeah.
They just love picking fights.
Right.
And they're up in arms about the smallest fucking things in the world. Like, yo, like the Little Mermaid teaser dropped and people are mad. I mean, obviously we knew who was being casted.
Yeah.
People are mad because Ariel's black. Fucking cares. She sounds amazing. The movie,
right.
The little teaser that they showed looks amazing.
Right.
We know the original Disney Little Mermaid. All right. So that's established. If you want the fucking, go watch that fucking Little Mermaid. Right. What's the big fucking, what are we arguing about?
Also, I wish I had so much time to kill that I had to,
that you had to argue about Little Mermaid being black.
I'm going to write a strongly worded email to Disney. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I got shit to do.
Are you fucking, yo, she looks amazing. The movie looks amazing. She sounds amazing. I'm going to be fucking in. I'm going to be in a theater watching that shit.
There we go.
I'm fucking about that shit.
Hell yeah.
I don't care, bro. It doesn't, little shit like, what the fuck are we mad about?
So mundane.
What the fuck are we mad about?
So mundane. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what I'm saying?
What the fuck are we mad about?
What are we mad about?
What are we mad about?
Ladies and gentlemen, every single week, you know what I'm saying? We have three segments. And the first one is actually called my mail time. I saw that shit from Blue's Clues.
Mail time.
That was nice.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me wanna wag my tail. When it comes, I wanna mail.
I think I'm going to snip that for every episode.
Yeah, baby. I got it.
That was amazing. I love Blue's and Blue's. Yeah, yeah. Love Such Blue's. A good throwback, you
oh,
know?
Fuck.
Oh, man. But, you know, we're going to do this one a little bit different because today okay. is a little bit of a different episode. You know what I'm saying? We want you to get to know your brand new co-host.
Okay.
So in this one, instead of sending in questions that the fans have submitted, what we're going to do is that we are going to ask each other two ooh. Questions. And I didn't say it before the show on
no,
purpose.
No, this is
spontaneous. Ooh, you know what I'm saying? I, you know what I'm saying?
I'm
I did
uncomfortable.
It. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, yeah, you know what I'm saying? We're going to do it on the spot, spontaneous.
Right.
Two questions apiece.
Okay.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Since you want to blindside me
yeah, yeah, yeah.
with this yeah. first segment, how about you go first and let's see where
okay,
this goes.
Okay, okay, okay. Marcel.
Okay.
What is one thing? Yeah. What is one thing or a plethora of things that you are mostly looking forward to when speaking to, you know, random guests?
Again, just getting to know them. You know, going back to something that we said earlier, just there's a lot of podcasts that are being created that are driving division between races, genders, X, Y, and Z, yada, yada. And first, hold on. Actually, let me rewind. Bro, can we give you a fucking moment? Hold on. I know you fucking asked the question, but fuck that.
What?
Can we give you a moment? Bro, one, you look fucking amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Bro,
I appreciate
this
that.
This guy looks amazing. Bro, and no. when you edit this shit, we gotta do the horns. We gotta do all that shit. Bro, you look fucking amazing.
I appreciate
dude.
That. Thank
when
you
I walked
so much.
In today, because I have not seen you in person since we did our last show. Why am I over here waving?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like, I feel like I'm in Bad
good.
Boys too. Like,
yeah.
Let me put this down. Let me.
He said, you're gonna accept this compliment whether you like
I'm
it
really
or not.
Fucking aggressive. No, dude, I haven't seen you since February of last year. When I walked in today, I mean, obviously you see the photos, right?
Right.
I walked in today, bro. You look fucking amazing. So first I have to give you that, right?
Thank you.
And then to answer your question, one, thank you for allowing me to, from time to time, be a co-host on this platform. Yeah. I told you I loved your platform because, again, with so many podcasts on the rise of just creating division in so many different categories, right? Your podcast to me has always been about the individual and their journey. And that's it. And that's what I'm about. I don't give a fuck about this guy not liking this girl because she ain't got no titties. And this girl not wanting to date this guy because he's 5'6" and he has premature bald. I don't fucking care about that shit.
Yeah.
Fuck all that shit. I want to learn about people. There's value in learning about people and your podcast. And that's, to be quite honest with you, that's why I did and reached out to you to do the podcast the first time because I saw the value in the podcast. So that's what I'm really looking forward to is learning about other individuals that I might have no fucking clue about right. and learning about their journey. And something that you and I spoke about prior to filming and recording was like, yo, in these scenarios, you really start to see that, yes, we are so different, but learning about the journeys, the creative journey, how many similarities there are,
oh, yeah.
and how alike we potentially can be, and how that builds just such a connection. You know, that's such a weird moment.
Yeah.
Such a weird, like, yeah. thing. Like, no. like.
But it'd be worse if we were so webbed. Yeah. If we had webbed hands.
That's
I wouldn't
weird.
Want that's
that was
ASMR. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, so that's what I am. Sorry guys, I apologize. You're gonna get a lot of this shit. A lot of this shit. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most. Is just really getting to know people and their journeys. And I wanna get to know like not the pretty shit.
Hell
not
yeah.
the Instagrammable shit. Not the this is what I've done. Look at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I want to know about the times where you were like, yo, fuck this shit. I'm yeah. done with this shit. I right. can't do this shit. No. Yeah. That's the shit because that's the relatable shit. There's yeah. people out there that need to hear those stories of there were days I didn't want to get out of bed.
Right.
There were days that I was ready to quit. There were days that I actually did quit
yeah.
and came back. Those are the stories that matter.
Yeah.
Those are the stories that change people's lives. And those are the stories that I want. Those are the conversations that I want to have
right.
with people. So that's That's what I'm looking forward
to. Hell yeah. Talk to me about when you slept in your car. Talk to me about when lunch was going doing three laps at the food court at Dolphin Mall. You know what I'm saying? For the free samples. The
samples, absolutely.
Gang, bro. You go to Charlie's Subs. They gave you a good portion of a quarter of a sub.
That's it.
And that's the sample.
That's it. Okay, my turn, right?
Yeah, go for it.
Two questions?
I'm scared. I just did one. We do one a piece.
One a piece. Okay, yeah. Fair. All right. Me aside.
Okay. Oh, I know what's coming. This is hard, dude.
How many episodes have you done?
I believe this is 129.
This is 129. I don't think I like that number. Can you make me a different number?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. No, I'm cool with 129. Me aside, who has been your favorite guest and why?
Oh, this is such a fucking loaded question, dude.
People gonna be mad.
Yeah,
people
dude.
Gonna be mad.
They well, good.
Mad.
Good thing I know. Hey, mad. Good thing I know the editor, bro. Because
20 minutes later.
Okay. Shit. Favorite.
And so hold on. So let me just soften the blow a little.
Okay,
bit.
Yeah, please.
You obviously have everyone that's been. All 128, let me say, actually, no, because I've done, this is going to be my second episode. So all 127 episodes outside of me, you've had everybody on your platform for a reason.
Right.
I feel like there's a vetting process. You want them on your platform because they have something to offer, or you're just intrigued by their, who they are, what they have to do. So everyone is, this is where everyone gets a participation trophy. Everyone is special. You're all winners. You are all winners. But there had to have been, this is what I want to know, a guest that stood out to you and that really like struck your spirit for whether it was their journey or the energy of the podcast. Like, who was it?
So, okay, I hate to have a Switzerland ass answer.
Ooh, you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Blanket ass answer.
No. But here's the thing: the way that I can genuinely do this. The way that I can kind of categorize it is as like milestones for the podcast.
Okay.
Alex Caceres, aka Bruce Leroy, was our first ever UFC fighter.
Fire.
And I'm talking about a 10-year UFC veteran.
Right.
You know, talking about I have his trading card at home.
You're a fan.
Yeah.
You're like, a fan.
You know, and like, I'm talking about like, guys, put the weed away. We have a UFC fighter, you know?
So now I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
How much did you perspire during that episode?
Dude, the thing is that the entire time you're like, the only way that you're setting it up without like shaking is like, oh no, don't worry. Cause he's going to bail.
Right.
And then.
Isn't that fucked up that we think that about?
I know. It's so fucked up.
And it has nothing
up.
To do with them. It's just.
It's my insecurity. 100%.
No, it's just, it's actually become a personality trait for people. Like they're flaky.
Right. Right. No, 100%.
I'll be flaky. If your shit starts at 10, 11 o'clock at night, I'm flaking. I'm just letting you know right now.
And so, freaking. Certain little things will happen that'll make it seem like it's actually gonna happen. Like he'll send me his cell phone number, so we're texting, and then he'll be like, he'll text me. All right, I need the address.
That's so fire.
And then the day of, he'll be like, all right, I'm on the way. And then I'm still like, nah, he's gonna flake. And then he's like, I'm outside.
You
and
were,
I'm like,
you were fangirling.
Oh, dude, so hard, so hard.
Oh my god. That
they,
here.
Yeah, no, dude. They even have a reality show for the UFC. It's called the Ultimate Fighter.
Okay.
And essentially, they get like 20 guys to sleep in like the same house. Their own.
Oh, I think I have seen. I don't think I've watched it like, but I think I've seen like something like some footage from that. Yes.
Okay.
I think
cool. And I mean, it's weird because your roommates or people that you're eventually gonna like
compete against and like bash them up.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
We could say fuck them up, right?
100%. Yeah. 100%. Unless Ball, you know. I'm saying, what's the sponsor us?
Then we're gonna say mess them up. We're gonna say mess them up, Ball.
There we go.
Ball. we're gonna mess up our opponents.
Oh, I love that. Oh God, what up?
But until y'all sponsors, we gonna fuck up our opponents.
We gonna fuck them up.
There we go.
And so I was doing like a little binge on their show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so in my binge, he was actually in the show, and he was like a highlight of that season. Fire. So he's here in front of my face. Mind you, this show was like 10 years ago, but he's been in the UFC ever since.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, you know, that was definitely one thing that I wanted to like establish. You also learn a lot of things in the way. So like I kind of made a joke earlier about like, oh, put all the weed away. And I'm not saying Alex does or doesn't, or whatever the case. You can check his IG stories for that. You know what I'm saying?
People do what they do.
People do what they do. But I don't like to assume. So because at the time USADA, which is the governing body for like drugs in the UFC athletes,
right,
was a big pain in the ass with weed. They no longer are. I didn't know if like he was going to step in, smell weed and be like, I can't be here.
I'm out. Yeah, you know? I respect that.
You know,
yeah.
So.
But that's a testament to you just trying to be respectful of the guests and their profession and,
right,
and the weight of their profession and their celebrity and who they are. So that's a testament to you. But I get wanting to be mindful of that shit because yeah, you want them here, yeah, but you don't want to do anything to detour them.
Yeah.
From.
And then, you know, 100%. Yeah. From like being here.
That's cool.
And then to finish answering your question, like just briefly, two more milestones.
Ooh, there's two more. Ooh, this is a three-part answer.
Sorry, there's two more. I mean, I'm not going to go into them.
No,
but
that's fine.
I would say, and in no particular order, DJ EFN and Sarah J.
Mm.
Both
legends.
Sarah J is our best performing episode so far. Her fan base precedes her.
Oh, absolutely.
Like nobody's business.
Absolutely.
It's right there, you know.
Sarah J.
To say that sex sells is an understatement.
An understatement, absolutely.
You know, and then DJ EFN, man, to have someone of that caliber come in a week after he was drinking and chilling with Kanye West for like 7+ hours.
You have like Kanye dust on you.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, is that Yeezy on me? I'm like, oh my God.
That boy started growing gills. Yeah. He started like, growing fins.
I'm like, damn, I need to enter the raffle. I'm about to hit on some Yeezys right now.
Who am I?
So he came in, like he rolled in like 10 deep, came in through with like a bunch of the crew from Drink Champs. Such a cool guy, such a
and
humble
this is,
guy.
This is I want you to know, for the record, we talked briefly about this prior to getting on record here, and his answer, he did say nothing but complimentary things about EFN. Very, yeah, very kind, very amazing experience. So I just wanted to
thank you
to say that, like, yo, this is not, you're not saying
for the
this
cameras,
for
yeah,
the cameras,
yeah, yeah,
yeah, for the episode, like you're that was your testament even prior to us rolling here. So I just want to let that be known.
Thank you.
That he is being honest. He's being honest, everybody. He's being honest. He's an honest guy. Honest guy.
Oh, thank you.
Can
thank
I talk
you
to the camera like this?
Of course.
Honest guy. Honest guy.
Hell yeah.
He's an honest fucking guy.
And then so now I'm going to get my second question for you. God. You know what I'm saying? Here
Hold
we
on.
Go.
Hold on. You had a three-part answer. Yeah. We got to drink to that.
Yeah, that's hell yeah. Let's do it.
Are you drinking over there? Talking to my future wife.
There we go. She got that wife. Barefoot over there. By the way, such a missed marketing opportunity from Barefoot to not call their wine Pata Sucia.
Ooh.
Honestly. Hi. Like, come on.
Hey, Barefoot, holla at my boy.
Holla at my boy. Come on.
Pata Sucia wine,
you know,
needs to be a thing.
There we go. Come on.
Give me question two.
All right.
I don't...
Feel uncomfortable, I got it. Let
but
me
I
kind of
like
got
being
it.
Uncomfortable a little bit. A little
yeah.
Bit.
Okay. Okay. You kind of hit me with a hard one, so I'm gonna hit you with.
Ooh. Did I?
Okay. In the same vein of your question, who has been, and we're talking producer, engineer, songwriter, artist, everything in the book, who has been your favorite person to collaborate with?
And this is where you edit, and we did it. Do, 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 do. And I'm just going to sit here like this, very, very still. It's so I have a minor follow-up question, maybe, but off the and it's a very, very easy. You thought you were gonna hit me with a hard question, but it's actually a very easy one. Okay. But I do have a follow-up. So we're just talking about in a creative space collaborating, right? We're not talking about from within the industry, whether they're a producer or anything like that. We're just talking about in a creative space, right? When we say collaborator. Because collaboration looks different in so many different ways. You know, there's... Because I am signed to Addicted to Fame, A2F Publishing. So, and the reason I ask is there's collaboration in that aspect. There's a management collaboration, you know, that is outside of the creative world. And then the creative setting, I guess you could say that's a different type of creating. And then there's in the studio creating the music and the body of work. So that's why I asked. So are we talking about in studio?
Yes.
Oh, easy for me. Medicine.
Yeah?
Yeah, medicine.
The kid, shout out medicine.
Yo, M-E-D-I-S-I-N. Listen to his music everywhere. It is fucking amazing. The kid is a writer, producer, instrumentalist, engineer.
Sheesh.
Bro, he... I love the kid. Without him, everything that you heard prior to us recording, like the eight songs that you heard, the project doesn't happen without him.
How'd you guys meet?
So he is the little brother of another member of so with A2F Studios, Addicted to Fame, A2F Publishing, A2F Management, we are a team of writers, producers, engineers, philanthropists. So he is a little brother of one of our team members and, used to be my roommate, but obviously being in these settings, you know, you meet family, you meet everybody and you want to see how they can be involved. So, I met him through, one of our other team members, Henny P, and that's his younger brother. And we just built a relationship, you know, we built a bond and I trust him with my art and my music like no other. I can't even put words to it. Like I'm really at a loss for words at how much I value him, not only as a person, but just in terms of what he brings to my art. And just what he brings to the world of music in general. Like his projects, they're fucking amazing. Like it's just to kind of give him some validity, because that's what we need in this internet age, right? We need validity. So the Little Fires in Africa project that they did to commensurate the anniversary of the Black Wall Street in Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
He was one of the main producers. Like they flew him out to produce and engineer the project. And that project was nominated for Grammys, publications, XXL, Complex. Like, they flew him out to be a part of it because he's originally from Oklahoma City. And that's how much he's valued in that sense. And for to have such a talent be embedded, not even involved, embedded into my work. That's such an easy answer for me. Jeez. Easy answer for me. Like my shit would not exist without that kid. And he's just, bro, you deserve all the fucking flowers in the world, man. And you're going to get it. It's just a matter of time before talented individuals get their flowers. And without him, any kind of creative process that I've had, any level of success that I've had, all the songs that I perform, the performances I've had, doesn't happen without him. That is my favorite. And that does not to discredit anybody that I've worked with. Because there's other people, there's other writers and producers that I've worked on the project. But he's an extension of me and I of him, I would hope. Maybe. But Tim, easy, hands down.
All right, damn. Okay.
Hands down.
And you got one more question.
If you were stranded on an island, no, let me say. Damn. This is tough. This might be dead air that you have to edit out. Okay. Feel like this might be an alley. It's like a little lob, you know, LeBron to D-Wade or D-Wade to LeBron. No, right. It was usually D-Wade to LeBron.
There you go.
But LeBron had some nice ones to D-Wade. EFN is, from a guest standpoint, it's pretty fucking major.
Mm.
In terms of drink champs and you know, he's a legend.
Yeah.
Who is, if you had, let me sauce it up. If somebody came to you and said, hey, you could only do one more episode of Midnight in Miami. One more.
Okay.
Who's the fucking, and you can interview anybody.
Doesn't have to be a prior guest.
Who is your dream guest? If they give you one last episode,
ooh.
One last episode, who is the person that you're getting on for that one last episode and why? Damn, that was a really good fucking
question. That was a really good one. Really good God.
Question. Damn, boy. Good damn. Job. Damn.
There we go. Good okay. Okay, co-host. Okay.
Yeah. Good fucking question.
Okay. You got me with that one. Mm. Are we talking dead or alive?
No, let's do alive. The whole dead thing. That's it's like, you know.
Okay.
Fucking pick anybody dead. Like, it's kind of easy. Not really, but.
God, I'm between
Michael
two.
Michael Jackson, Prince.
Right.
Like that, you know, it's fucking easy.
I'm between two. God. Mm. And they're so vastly different.
You want to do too. A coin? Do you have a coin? Let's do. We don't need to know the two. There's a coin right there. Look, there's a coin right there.
Okay.
We don't need to know the two. In your head, I'm making this. Fuck, I'm killing this shit.
You really are.
All right. In your head, establish who is heads and establish who is tails. Flip the coin, whatever it lays on, that is your answer. That's what we're doing.
Okay.
You don't have to tell us who's heads and who's tails.
Here we go. One, two.
Heads. It's heads. It's heads.
I would interview Lionel Andres Messi. I would interview Messi.
Okay.
Yes.
And why?
Because it's funny to kind of tie. I love tying shit in together like a beautiful bow.
Bows are beautiful.
Yeah. You had mentioned earlier about like standing strong with your morals,
mm-hmm. Foundational values,
values. Yeah. There we go. One thing that I think was always big for me and in my family, and especially for my dad, was for us to not forget where we came from, in the sense of like, we're all from Argentina. And he noticed very quickly on, especially in schools, how quickly it was to adopt English as your new language and kind of forget or put Spanish to the back.
As your second language.
Right.
Right.
So he made it very important to like speak Spanish in our house, mm-hmm. like to the point where like even a brand like PlayStation, it'd be like Estación de Juegos, like shit like that, like which is ridiculous.
Say that shit again,
Hype. Estación de Juegos.
Estación de Juegos.
There you go. Look at good? You. Yeah. Really it's beautiful. Good? It's
damn.
Beautiful.
Damn.
God, Sony, hire this man. You know what I'm saying?
Estación de Juegos. Estación de Juegos.
Oh God, that's beautiful. Oof. It's very dangerously.
Look at me.
Very dangerous.
I'm walking out this bitch bilingual.
God, hell yeah.
Walking out this thing bilingual.
It's almost close to Estación de Huevos, which
right.
is
you like gotta be
Station of Huevos. Yeah, eggs. You know what I'm saying? And then Sony will fire your ass. Yeah,
you gotta be careful.
But so that was a very.
I feel like we're just doing product placement.
Yeah.
PlayStation.
We'll send a
Sony?
Bunch of clips. Yeah. So that
this episode is sponsored by Ball.
There you go. And so that was a big thing. And so soccer was a big thing in our household.
Of course.
Still is. No, I mean, I think that he's the biggest name as far as like soccer is concerned.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'd be.
Is he coming here?
He is coming to Miami because they're going to play.
He is. Like, I've heard reports.
Look
like,
at you. Okay.
I'm a little well-versed.
Okay.
You know? I don't only do the American sports. I'm a little well-versed in what I know.
I be watching
tennis. We watch the U.S. motherfucking Open.
Okay.
We watch that shit.
Okay.
Watch that shit.
I see you.
We don't only do the football.
I see you.
And the basketball.
Do you want to know what my tails would have been?
Did you finish your why, though? I didn't want to interrupt you.
No.
I didn't want to disrespect your why.
I would say...
You said a lot of valid things, but I just want to make sure you got it off your chest because I know that shit.
It's just lastly, I would say that he has been able to encapsulate an entire country, and I think beyond that, an entire generation of fans.
Right. Yeah.
My tails would have been Mr. Marshall Mathers.
Ooh.
Yes. Eminem. Eminem indeed.
And yeah. Why?
He does not do a lot of interviews.
He doesn't. No, that's facts.
You know?
That's facts.
So that in itself would be, and to be able to do it in a long forum like that, like an right. hour and a half would
yeah,
be
yeah.
wild.
Did you see, speaking of Marshall, and speaking of sports, I'm not sure if you watch on HBO Hard Knocks.
I've heard of it. I haven't though.
So this season they did the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
And Marshall
no,
was on the last
you're
like
kidding.
He went to their practice.
That's so
and,
cool.
And I think it lasted like 5 minutes. Like obviously you see yeah. it's edited, but
right.
But Marshall, I think it was Marshall, Paul, and someone else. I don't remember who, but you see Eminem in the final. It's so Hard Knocks captures basically preseason for whatever team that they choose. And just within the last 2 years, they're doing two teams now. They're doing one for preseason, one for in season. So the preseason one this year was Detroit. And the last episode, because the season started today, holla football season started.
Holla, holla.
So the last episode was on Tuesday. And yeah. Marshall Mathers was on it. So he was at their practice facility and they walked the practice facility. And I think the reason that he was there is because he has a restaurant called Mom's Spaghetti now,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So they catered that day for the team.
Damn.
Yeah, so that's why he was there. Yeah. So
okay.
So I was just asking, but you need to watch the show. It's really, really good. Really,
very
really great
cool.
show. Really, really great
okay.
show. So all right, so doesn't do long form interviews.
Right. He doesn't do them. And not only that, like genuinely, that would be you ever like do things for the younger version of yourself?
Mm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that'd be like, and don't get me wrong, I am still to this day a massive Eminem fan. But I feel like that would be such a 180 moment.
That'd be, yeah.
You know, like
for. And then for you, you know, you've done so many episodes.
Right.
You've done damn near close to 200 episodes. There's a lot of podcasts that don't. Let me not limit you to podcasts. I don't like podcasts. There's not a lot of platforms,
right.
interview platforms that last that long.
No. Yeah.
There's a right. lot of work that goes into this and you do it week after week. You said I'm
129. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
There's 52 weeks in a year.
Yeah.
That's, you've been doing this for almost every fucking week
yeah.
for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, think about the time that you put into this
yeah.
from not only being here on Sunday, but the everything off camera, the editing, the social shit, the, you know, everything they have to post. And to have, like, when you talk about a 180 moment, nah, I get it.
Yeah, man.
I get it. If Marshall means something to your childhood and...
Oh, dude. I was...
Hey, fuck it.
I was freaking... when I first got to this country, because I was born in Argentina. I came here when I was about 7 and a half.
Okay.
And I mean, I didn't speak a lick of English, you know?
Wow.
I remember...
barely speak English when I was born here.
I remember freaking going on throwback Yahoo Music, you know what I'm saying? And I would watch the Lose Yourself music video on replay, just back to back.
Did you do Yahoo Messenger too?
Oh, come on, did I ever, you know? Come on.
I mean, AIM was the big thing. But you had Yahoo Messenger, and I think you had, didn't you have like an MS, I think
MSN Messenger
was a thing too, right?
By the way, thank you. I mean, I know today was a little bit different for our mail time, but every single week, send in those questions and we'll read them on the air. So thank you for that.
That was a good mental exercise.
Oh, thank you.
No, fuck you. That you really had to. I had to fucking. I was just like, oh my god, depression. I'm just glad you couldn't see me sweat.
No, man, you don't sweat. You glisten. Bald. You glisten.
When you're bald, you just start. It just starts to perspire, and it just builds up, and I just start to shine. So you might have to put like a filter on this.
Yeah, but there's this thing about bald men. It's just like you kind of dominate. You just command the room. You know. There you go. Exactly. That's
man. God. Fuck that. I've been balding since I was like 20. It's fucking horrible.
Man, you rock the look. That is a damn lie. You rock the look, my brother.
I appreciate it.
Of course.
I appreciate it. We get ran through the mud. Balding's one of those things that gets insulted a lot, but it's okay. It's cool. I'm here.
I don't understand. I don't understand.
I don't get it either.
The hate.
I don't get. Listen.
Marcel, my brother, I want to ask, how do you, when you get hit, if you ever get hit with a little bit of the writer's block?
I was going to say, how many times do you hit me? No.
Oh, because we'll dive into BDSM right now. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't, no, we won't. No. Writer's block, it's funny because the term writer's block, it's a real thing. I don't want to discredit, you know, what writer's block is, but for me, I can't sit here and say every single day I'm writing a whole song, I'm writing a whole hook, I can't say that. I think the important thing is to, one, know yourself, two, learn your inspirations, and then three, just be open to being inspired by everything. It doesn't have to be by a person. It doesn't have to be, I guess three contradicts two though. Hold on. Let me revisit this in real time.
Hell yeah. That's real time editing right there. Makes my job easier.
Yeah, no, but we're here for the honesty. We're here for the transparency.
Hell yeah.
We are here. Can you do those weird, like, cool camera effects where it just goes like this? And
yeah.
Oh, this is really weird. It's like a big, like, Hulk penis. Yeah, it's just, I don't write a song every day. I don't. Do I write lyrics every day? Absolutely.
Really?
I write when so I want to be very, very specific when I say I write lyrics every day. It could be a line. It could be the name of a song that I want to revisit. And whatever I write later on, I want it to land to this and for it to talk about this. So writer's block, the way you combat it is just being consistent. Whatever consistency looks like, it's up to you. Everyone judges or everyone categorizes consistency different. Everybody categorizes it differently. And for me, I know that I'm not going to write a song every single fucking day. But if every day I can jot something down in my notes on my phone, if I can record a melody on my voice notes, that's how you combat writer's block. And it's up to you to go back to my steps or knowing your inspiration, it's always evolving. I think as we grow as people, as we become older, wiser, the things that inspire us change. You know, I just love now in my life, I love stillness. Some of my favorite moments, as much as I love my fiance, I love the moments where I'm by myself and I'm still and I'm, and it's just myself and my thoughts. And you hear the, just the ambient noises of outside in a very private community, whether it's birds, car driving by, whether it's a neighbor yelling at another neighbor, shit like that. I just take in and I find inspiration from that. Where it goes, I can't tell you, but I enjoy it. And I find so much gratification in that shit. And it just, it comes back to just knowing yourself, being uncomfortable. But consistency, however that looks, is how you combat writer's block.
How often are you, you talk about being uncomfortable. How often are you challenging yourself to be uncomfortable?
Yo, I am my own worst fucking enemy. Dang. And critic every single fucking day, every single day. So just to give you a real picture, I work from home. My fiance works during the day. So she's off at work. I'm at home by myself. Do I interact with colleagues and coworkers via certain communication platforms? Absolutely. But in real time, I'm by myself. I have moments by myself where I just think about shit. I think about what I want to do. I think about how am I going to do it. I even start to doubt myself. Like everything goes through my mind. So it's every day for me. I long for the day where I'm still in terms of my mind, in terms of not thinking about the next thing or the future and stuff like that. I love the stillness of the moment and what I just described in terms of my surroundings. I love that stillness, but my mind is always, so I'm always thinking about and putting myself in uncomfortable positions because I just always want to be better. I always think about how I handled certain things, how I handled certain people. I'm honest with my errors, how I could have been better. And I say, okay, this is what I did. If I'm ever put in this situation again, this is how I'm going to operate, or this is how I would like to operate. And that's it. It, for me, it's just about getting better every fucking day, however that looks. Some days, it's not as exciting. And to be honest with you, personal growth, again, talking about un-Instagrammable shit, personal growth doesn't look exciting sometimes.
Yeah, man.
I can't take a picture of, hey, I grew today.
For real.
I fucking thought about the time when I was 13 and my mom said this to me and I'm over it now. Like, it doesn't look like that.
Right, it's, of course.
Growth, you can't capture growth. The only way that I can prove and show my growth, you would have to ask the people in my life. Mm. That's the measurement stick.
Of course.
What has Marcel meant to you and how has he changed over the years? You know, like that's how I measure my growth, you know? So again, I think we're just always, just looking to capture something and there's just certain shit that you can't capture, yo. Certain shit that's just, it's not that exciting. Mm. It's not that exciting until you have that aha moment and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
You're like, yo, this same exact situation, I was in the situation 3 months ago and I reacted like this and not, now I'm reacting like this. Like, oh, fuck. Oh, you did that. You grew. Like, damn, you gotta.
Hell yeah.
You gotta pat yourself on the back. And that's gratification, yo. Mm. And so there's, again, going back, there's no absolute. It's all operating in the gray. Mm. There's very few things in this life that are black and white. Mm. And you just gotta, like, day to day, figure it out.
Marcel, you have some of the most diverse, you know what I'm saying?
Diverse.
You know what I'm saying? Diversity. But you have such a range when it comes to your sound.
Okay.
Is that a very conscious decision to the point that maybe you worked on a song and you're like, hey, this sounds a little bit too similar to this track. Let me nix it.
Yes and no. I think in terms of when you look at music, there's only so many notes.
Right.
That can be played. There's only so many chords that can be played. There's only so many melodies that can be sung. So I think over a course of time, you're going to hear very similar notes. You're going to hear very similar chords. You're going to hear very similar melodies. And so you kind of have to figure out, how do you take something that you're influenced by and make it your own? And so I feel like, you know, and we have to give context here. Like, this is where we have to paint the picture. Mm. Is, you heard music that people that will be watching this, or maybe watching this, if you're watching this, haven't heard yet.
Right.
And you heard 8 songs that all, and correct me if I'm wrong, no cap in my rap, but 8 songs that all sounded different from
one another.
Mm. Right. And it's just, I'm just influenced by so many different things. I'm, you know, the shit that I grew up listening to in my adolescent years, and then the shit that I listened to in my more formable years, and even the shit that I listen to currently, it all plays a role in how I think and how I create and the sound I want to create and the things that I want to talk about. So I think I said something to you earlier off air that when you're creating, there's not a dumb idea when you're in the room.
Yep.
There's not that, like, you never know what someone's melody is going to lend to the overall end result of the record. And when I'm in a room full of people, and I'll speak specifically when it comes to sessions that are centered around me and my music, there's no dumb ideas. And I don't care who does what, who says what, who writes what. If it lends to the success of the end product, let's fucking do it. Let's fucking do it. It doesn't matter. And if it sounds like something, cool, that's great. We all draw inspiration from different areas, and it's all in our in our subconscious, and we're just pulling it out and stuff like that. But how do we make it our own? We switch up this part of the melodies. We switch up how we deliver this line or this melody. Like, we figure it out.
Right.
A song's done when you say it's done. Mm. You know, and some of the songs that you heard earlier underwent different versions of itself.
Yeah.
And it's just, you do a version, you do a session, you listen, you digest, and you're like, this could be better. This could be better. We can adjust this and things that you. And this is where you need a community, and you need to trust your collaborators to also provide that feedback. I think it's important as the artist, the end artist who's going to be singing and performing this music, I think it's important for them to be involved in it and be comfortable with it. But also, you have to be surrounded by people that you trust. That it's not about them, it's not about their ego, it's not about them getting their point across, it's not about them getting their contribution on the record. It's about, we set out to do a dope fucking song, an amazing fucking record, and I think this is best for the record. And you just have to know your community. You just really have to know your community. And for me, this music shit, this creative shit is not transactional.
No,
it's not. No. Well, and you say it like you know, deep down inside, you're like, no, it absolutely isn't. But I feel like it's being presented that way within the last few years. Like, this is just, hey, we do sessions. You're a writer, yada. And there is a part of the business that does that. Don't get me wrong. And I respect it. But it's more than a transaction for me.
It has to be.
I'm in these sessions sharing real feelings.
Right.
With people that I just met, but I hope to develop a relationship with to create a great product. And sometimes it's not even about the product. It's about the relationship. If I walk away from a session and I meet someone for the first time and we walk out of that session and we become good friends and that friendship flourishes, that's a success for me. That satisfies me. That brings me more value than a finished song.
Right.
Because I know the songs will be created.
Yeah.
But if I can develop a fruitful relationship, that's a success to me. And that's what creative sessions are for me. Like I take them personally. I haven't been my best in some sessions, but there's also been some sessions where I went in saying, hey, I'm going to be my best. And the other individuals weren't. And it's all trial and error. We're all imperfect. It's, you know, I really do my best to not judge anyone. We're all going through shit. We, you know, when you meet people and in the moments that you meet people, you never know what's on their heart. You never know what's on their plate. You know, this life shit, it's ebb and flow. It's a wave. And we're all out here fucking paddling. And if you've been out in the ocean, after a while you get tired.
Oh yeah.
You get tired of just swimming and you just kind of just want to be still. And you just want to let the waves just carry you. Mm. And I feel like a lot of people are like that, especially in creative spaces. And so I really try to go into these sessions not judging anyone and just being open to what everyone has to contribute. I've been in sessions that weren't fruitful, and that's okay. It happens. Mm-hmm. It's a part of the process. Yeah, I don't even remember your question.
No, you killed it.
Don't even remember your
As
question.
As always. Ladies and gentlemen.
Don't edit that out. I don't remember his question.
I never will.
I really don't remember his question.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't remember it at all.
Every single week, we have three, I said three segments.
Oh, shit, we're on for two. All
and
right.
The second one is the movie review of the week. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? And in this beautiful segment, we ask our illustrious and oh so very talented guests for a suggestion, a recommendation. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about a movie, a TV show, any sort of form of media that you may have consumed as of late. Maybe something that you're binging. Don't hit me with that new dragon of Game of Thrones.
Right?
I know everybody hitting me with that.
I was going to say Stranger Things. Is that
no. Because everybody's
old by now.
Yeah, everybody's hitting me with that Game of Thrones. So you know what I'm saying? Something that ideally it'd be a, you know what I'm saying, 10 out of 10 stars or 5 out of 5. Maybe someone you got a room full of 2,000 people and they waiting for a Ledoux performance, you know what I'm saying? And they got like 2 hours.
Cross my legs for this.
2 hours to kill. Yeah, and hold that pinky up. How many, you know what I'm saying? What would you suggest for the people? Deep sigh.
Can I ask you first? You didn't like that.
Yeah.
You didn't like that. that's not a part of the segment. Stick to the script. He's going to yell at me when the camera's there. He's like, hey, don't fucking ever do that shit. Not ever turn it on me. I fucking have no suggestions. It's all about you.
What the fuck have I been watching?
Right. See, like, exactly. It's so difficult. It's fun. Like, I found myself as of recent just revisiting shit that I've already watched.
Okay.
I guess maybe that's something that when I restart therapy again, I need to revisit. Why do I keep going back to things that I've already seen 2 or 3 times already? And I'm talking about whole series of shows.
Oh, but that's the entirety of The Office. You know what I'm saying right there?
For me, it's New Girl.
Oh, respect.
I fucking love New Girl. Okay. I've watched that a few times. What's the... Ted Lasso, I've watched a few times.
Okay. Fucking,
Ted Lasso, to me, has been one of my favorite shows in the last 2... Yeah, 2020 when the pandemic. Yeah, last 2 years, Ted Lasso has been one of my favorite shows. So I've rewatched that. What's the? I'm looking. I apologize that I'm using my phone, but I need it. Fuck it.
No, you're good.
I just don't remember the fucking name of the show.
But in the meantime, I'm gonna compliment that beard. I'll tell you that. Thanks, good bro. Lord, thank God,
it's my best feature.
It's luscious, is what it is.
It is good my best feature. Lord, it God. Is all I have.
You could do a damn.
And the grays are there. The great, my poppy beard's coming in.
God, you'd be the first bald head and shoulders model I ever know. You know what I'm right. saying?
Straight up. Head and shoulders, holla at me.
Straight up.
Or it'd be chin and shoulders.
There you go. There yeah. you go.
We'll work on that. So we just watched it this morning.
Okay.
And this is what I'm going to say. But it's also, not because it's recent, but it's also really, really good. The Patient with Steve Carell.
Really?
It's a thriller. It's like a thriller.
Okay.
And
so Steve, he's serious. And he's Steve serious Carell is
very, very serious.
Ooh, I want to yes, watch yes. it.
And it's on Hulu, and it's Ooh. Only and it's only 3 episodes in. And okay. and what really sucks is the episodes are 25 to 30 minutes long, so they're quick. And it's one of those things where they're releasing every week and you're like,
oh no.
Fuck.
Dude. I don't have 17 Fortnites to watch. Bro, you know, like
The Patient. It is really fucking good. That's something that we've been watching. And then also, because we watched an episode this morning, the Welcome to Wrexham with Ryan Reynolds. And what is this guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? I always fuck up his name. But I'm going to attempt my best. So, you know, they bought a football club in Wales.
What?
They bought Wrexham Football Club.
Who?
Ryan Reynolds.
Are you serious?
Yes, Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Look, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What?
Yeah, so they bought a football club, like
but Real Life bought it.
Yeah, Real Life bought Wrexham.
So it's like documentary style.
That is exactly it. It is so fucking good.
Wow.
I'm a huge documentary person. Like
I love
sports documentaries. I just watched the Jeter documentary okay. that was on ESPN Plus. I love sports documentaries. I love music documentaries. I love anything behind the scenes to see the process. I love that shit.
Okay.
That is my shit. So it don't even matter what it is. But there's something about sports documentaries and like the feel good.
Yeah.
They always say when it comes to sports, you can't write this shit. Mm. There are certain things in sports that happen, and you being a Messi fan, I'm sure you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's certain things that he's accomplished, certain things that he's done, certain matches, right. certain that no writer can put pen to paper yeah. and write that fucking story.
I know.
It's yeah. just destiny.
Yep.
It's truly fucking destiny. And the Jeter documentary was that for me.
Okay.
The Tom Brady documentary was that for me. This Wrexham, I can't say the Welcome to Wrexham documentary is like that for me. It just gives me a different feeling because Wrexham is the Wrexham football club in the town. There's some real life shit. Like the football club is everything to this town. And you have these two superstars that come in and buy the club. And you know, when high profile celebrities
yeah.
involve themselves in shit that's rooted in community, there's skepticism, you right. know? And I think there might've been a little bit of that, but the community has welcomed them and welcomed what they've brought to the club so far. And it's only about 5 to 6 episodes in. Okay. And it's such a great fucking show.
Damn.
It's such a great fucking show. I've been enjoying that. And then the last thing for me, I've been watching, you know, when you're around, you watch it a little bit, but the Lakers documentary on Hulu.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Again, I love sports documentaries. I love sports history. And just the history of the Lakers franchise, they walk you through everything.
Do they get into Kobe?
They're not there yet.
Okay.
They're not there yet. And that's the beauty of it is like they're on where they left off. The current episode is when they signed Shaq.
Oh, wow.
And so every Monday, tomorrow's a new episode, they're about to get into that era.
Oh, shit.
They just drafted Kobe, just signed Shaq, and now they're about to get into that era. But, and I think that's about five episodes in. So they went through the Magic, Kareem, James Worthy era. The Eddie Jones, the Nick Van Exel, like they've gone through like and it's very, very thorough. It's all done in conjunction and in agreement with the Lakers. So you have the Buss family, you know, Dr. Buss's kids telling the story about how they grew up with their father, about when he bought the Lakers and the other franchises that came with the Great Western Forum. And like, it's a great doc. If you're a fan of sports documentaries or just documentaries in general, it's great. Great storytelling. Great storytelling.
Yep. How many stars for all these suggestions?
For me, I'm out of what, 5 stars?
Yeah, out of 5.
I'm going between 4 and 5.
Hell yeah.
I'm going between 4 and 5. And you know, that's just my personal interest and taste. Like,
of course,
I'm watching it every week because it's kept me interested. So I'm easily 4 or 5 stars. Okay. Easily.
Dope. With ease. Dope. With ease. Thank you for those movie/show recommendations. The man killed it.
Oh, so those are shows. Okay, so hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay. IMDb hold over here.
The fuck on. Bullet Train?
Okay. Where's that from?
Bullet Train is the new movie with Brad Pitt.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Obviously, everyone's favorite Latino is in the movie. Okay. Bad Bunny.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Latino is the right term, right? Yeah. I'm Hispanic and I don't know what the political term is.
Yeah.
I'm Hispanic and I don't even know. Latino?
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I'm good.
You're good.
No soft cancel. I just got here. I just fucking started hosting the show. But you have to watch it in Regal's. Is it the Screen X? Is that what it's called?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. The one with the
dude.
Never done it. Is it wild?
Oh,
for real?
God. Oh my God.
For real?
Because you walk in the theater, and obviously this is before previews start, and you just see because it's. Is it called Screen X? It is. It is Screen X, right? Because they have. Regal has 4DX, they have ScreenX, they have a different platform.
Yeah, ScreenX sounds like a booby trap ass screen, you know what I'm saying? Like
so you it's advertised as this 180 kind of experience. So I was excited to do it. What's that? 270 degrees. What is it? 270 degrees is how it's described, right? So that's when we walked in the theater, I see this regular ass theater screen and I'm like, okay, this doesn't seem 270 to me, but you know what? Whatever. It is what it is. We paid for it. We're here. Seats reserved. We got our popcorn. We got some drinks and stuff like that. So we're here. So fuck it. Let's figure it out. Yo, the lights drop, the preview start, and motherfucking walls start showing shit. And I'm like, oh my fucking God. I was like, oh shit. I was like, this is what we fucking signed up for, yo. And damn, the movie Bullet Train, for it to be on a train, in those scenes where it's on a train, you're seeing the screen, but there's screens on the wall. And you feel like you're in the fucking train. Dude, yes. If the movie is available in ScreenX, go fucking watch the movie in ScreenX.
And what theater was this?
Regal.
Damn.
Yeah, not every Regal has ScreenX available, but if you are looking to go watch a movie and you see the movie that you want to watch available in ScreenX, do not shortchange yourself. Spend the coins and go see the fucking movie. It was so fucking good.
Damn.
It's an experience because of those, that 270. And then when the lights went off and then the preview started, then you see, oh, this is what I paid for. What an experience, yo. What a fucking experience.
And how was the actual movie?
Oh, great.
Yeah?
Oh, absolutely great. It was hilarious. It was action-packed. It was great fucking movie. Dang. Great fucking movie. definitely see the movie. I love it. It's fucking, it's Brad Pitt. It's Bad Bunny. It's, fuck. I know I'm missing a lot of actors, but I can't think. I didn't know I was going to talk about the fucking movie. I didn't come prepared.
You killed it. You did amazing. Thank you.
Prepared.
Thank you for those movie/show recommendations.
I had to give you one movie. At least one movie.
Hell yeah.
At least one.
What's one thing that that's like very popular, like it's a very socially accepted thing, but you don't really understand it nor partake or like it? Maybe it's a food, chocolate, whatever, something that it's like the social norm and you're not a part of it.
Mostly everything.
Gang.
Staying up past 10, not about it. Hell. I don't sleep much, but I just like going to sleep at a decent time to wake up. And you know, we go to the gym and stuff like that. So staying up late, not about it. I don't hate everything popular to be different. I don't do it to rebel or anything of that nature. I don't like a lot of the popular things because of, again, for me, it's all about what is it rooted in? What is its intention and how is it affecting people? For me, I'm all about bringing people together, and I feel like everything that is popular is dividing people. Mm. It's making everything feels so self-serving these days. It feels so me, me, me. What do I get out of it? What do I get out of it? What do I get out of it? You know, did I say that right? What do I get out of it? What do I get out of it? What do I get out of it?
It's a damn tongue twister.
I had to slow that down. And that's how everything feels. From Instagram to TikTok to just the popular things that to me aren't that popular. Like, I don't know. There's just a lot of things that have become just the norm that I just can't get down with. Mm. I don't know if that makes me old school. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that makes me old. I always try to understand the root of something. What is its intention? Whether it's a social media platform, like for example, Instagram. I feel like the inception of Instagram came from a pure place to showcase photos, to bring people closer together. And us as humanity, we tainted that. I understand the tool of Instagram. For me, it's something that I use. For others, it's something that they are. I don't go on Instagram much anymore these days because I feel like, and again, I ain't shit. I want to establish that. So, but it just doesn't serve me. Mm. I'm not better than anybody. I'm not lesser than anybody. I am who I am. I believe in what I believe in, but it just doesn't serve me. Because everything just feels so transactional. Everything just feels so false. It feels so materialistic. It feels so, again, rooted in narcissism. And it feels egotistical. It just...
Touching back on what you had said before the movie suggestions, would you say that when you had said that you went into certain sessions and you were pretty much on your game and certain other individuals weren't, and then there were times that you went in and you felt like you weren't on your game. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How much of it is the vibe of it all? How much of it is the 10 minutes, 15 minutes before you go into the booth and you're hanging out? Maybe, I don't know what your process is before recording. Right. I don't know if you, maybe you guys share a drink. Maybe you, I don't know what your process is, but does that play a big role? Or because if you don't have that, does it kind of feel a little bit more transactional, like how you're mentioning?
Yeah. My lips were dry. And I just took off some like dry stuff off my lips. That's Hell really yeah. weird. If that's on camera,
That's leave beautiful. It. I'll do a zoom in.
It's just
in.
Like real shit. Like my lips were dry.
I'll do a zoom in.
My lips are dry. So there's actually a podcast that was set up by it started by a writer. His name is Ross. And he's a very established writer in the industry, and it's called And the Writer Is. Ross Golan is his name. And he started the podcast based on, in his sessions, these conversations we have are what sets the tone for the session. So for me, I loved that because, again, shit is not transactional for me. When we get in these sessions, we set up, hey, session at 8 o'clock on so-and-so day, yada, yada. This is what we're going to be potentially working on, or maybe we're not. We're just creating. I love to just have the conversation. Let's set the tone. How's your week been? How's life? What you been stressing about? What's on your mind? Yada, yada, yada. Let's have conversations before we dive into whatever we work on, because we never know within those conversations. Again, it's about building chemistry. It's about getting to know one another. And we never know where those conversations will lead into what we're going to be working on or what we're going to be creating. So, excuse me. That's my vibe. That's the vibe I like to create. And again, authenticity for me. If I'm setting up a session, I would hope everyone that is coming to that session knows what it's going to be. Marcel is going to be Marcel. Even if I'm having an off day, I'm still going to be as warm as I can be to those that are there, because I value people's time. I value the energy they put into creating. I care about people, you know? And I fall short just like anybody else. I'm not perfect. I try to, you know, alter the way that I show how I care about people and how they feel cared. And that's about getting to know people, how they want to be communicated with, how they their love languages.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how do they express? How do they receive? And I think love languages is not only a romantic thing. I think it's just a relationship based thing. You just get to know people. And so for me, that's what the vibe and setting the vibe looks like, is just have a conversation. You know, if you're on that side of the room, you're on that side of the room. How's everybody's week? How's everybody's day? What's going on in your life? Because that shit matters, man. That makes it feel like what we are there to do that day is not just a transaction. I guess by definition, maybe it is some form of a transaction, but how do we make this thing more than just a transaction, you know?
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what I'm saying? Every single week, you know what I'm saying? We have three. Segments. And the third one, you know what I'm saying? It is the quest for the truth. And in this beautiful segment, we ask our illustrious guest a random, emphasis on the word random, question from this here deck of cards or book in this case.
No idea what the fuck he's going to ask.
Yeah, neither do I.
It's true.
So,
touché.
So here we go. Ooh.
And just a pause. This episode of Midnight in Miami is unofficially sponsored by Ball.
Thank you, Ball.
And unofficially, Bullet.
Thank you, Bullet. Marcel, if you had to confess to one crime that you have already committed, what would you confess to?
Okay. Follow-up question. What... when we say the word crime,
okay,
what constitutes or is considered a crime?
Well, I think technically speaking, spitting on the sidewalk is illegal.
Oh shit! I fucking commit a crime every day.
You know, exactly. So do I. You know.
I mean, bro, there's so many crimes. I've pissed in random places.
Gang.
Um, I've stolen from a retail store before.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Oh, we were talking about Dine and Dash. I've Dine and Dash before.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've Dine and Dash before. Okay. I've Dine and Dash from a Denny's before.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm sorry, Denny's. I love your $4 unlimited pancakes. I apologize. I'm sorry. I've given you back the money like 100-fold.
We were working on a Denny's sponsorship, too.
I promise you I've given you back the money 100-fold.
Best believe.
But yeah, like Dine and Dash, like... It's funny just being down here in South Florida. There's so much like growing up at you know, in your adolescent ages. There's just so much like it is considered a crime, but it's just like right. so much like mischievous like adolescent shit that you get into. So like I feel like if you were born and raised down here in South Florida, whether it be Miami, Broward. Whatever it looks like, we've all kind of gotten into some of the same shit.
Hell yeah.
We've all had our run-ins with,
oh yeah,
you know, people and things and situations and stuff like that. But dining and dashing is such a rush. God damn, that is such a rush.
Yeah,
my fat ass.
Damn,
especially
yeah.
back then.
Oh,
little. Fucking pudgy fucker trying to run away from the fucking restaurant. Probably would have been faster if I just tucked and rolled to the fucking car. God damn.
Oh my God. Thank you for answering that.
That wasn't that
question.
Bad.
No, it wasn't.
Let's do one more.
Let's run it.
Let's do one more. This one's going to be fucking bad. I'm asking for it. And this one's going to be fucking horrible. But hold on. When you say random, are you now looking for a random, or are you just opening to a page and going boom?
I'm doing that unless like unless it's not like a good question, you know?
Okay, that's fair. That is fair. That's fair. How are you doing over there?
We're doing great.
No, I don't care about you. I'm talking about your cup.
Oh yeah, I'll do a little bit
okay.
more.
Fuck, I know you're doing great. You're talking to me. The fuck?
Okay. All right. Okay, this one isn't too intense.
Okay.
But if you want to throw someone under the bus, you definitely can.
Snitches get stitches. I will not.
If you had to describe the worst job interview of your life, what job would it have been for?
I wish it was like last fucking week.
Dang. And why was it so bad?
I don't know if I can. That's not a difficult question. I'll tell you. So I can't pinpoint a job interview because I've been in the same. I've been on a few interviews within the last few years.
Okay.
Those tell me about a time interviews are just so. I don't know if that captures someone's personality. I know they're looking for a result in how you handle the situation, right? They call it the star method.
Okay.
What is a situation? I can't even fucking remember at this point. I haven't been in interview mode in a little bit, so I can't even tell you. But they all want to hear about the situation, how you tackled it, how you approached it, and what was the result, right? So I guess you could get to know about someone like that, but... I don't do well in those interviews. Like, get to know me for me. What makes me tick? What makes me passionate? Why you think I'm going to be a great fit for this role that I'm applying for? You know, like, so I can't pinpoint an interview that is probably the worst, but I really don't like those. So tell me about a time when I don't like those interviews. No. Those suck.
Those absolutely suck.
But
thank you for answering those questions.
Glad
I didn't have to
throw anybody under the bus.
Yeah, I thought you were going to for a minute.
Snitches get stitches and end up in ditches.
Oh man, the man is adding to it. Marcel, my brother, before we start wrapping up this powerhouse, you know what I'm saying?
According to the GoPro, we've been here for an hour and 43 minutes.
Oh, that's nice.
This is long.
That's solid.
I don't know if I like to hear myself talk for an hour and 43 minutes.
An hour 43, that's solid right there.
I mean, this is definitely not going to do Sarah J numbers, that's for sure.
Oh, you never know that. You never know that.
Unless Sarah J, you know, post it.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe, you know what I'm saying? After, man, when you guys leave, I'll do a little edit. I'll show some skin. You know what I'm saying? Damn. You know?
I can show some skin. I've been showing my chest.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate that.
If you're
that.
In this angle, you've been seeing a little bit of chesticle.
That's the Patreon.
Just a little bit. Oh, sort of muscle. Hold on. Beautiful. Let me see if I get the move. Okay. No,
I'm just kidding. Before we start wrapping up this powerhouse of an episode, Marcel, my brother, I do want to know kind of what is, as of late, what's been on your mind? Is there anything that you... have yet to finish in regards to having a release date? What's on the horizon for you? And
no pressure.
No pressure. And
my
man
went straight to the release date. God damn.
Don't give me a release date. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, just tell me what's the next step in the process.
So the project for the most part is done. I'm gonna start actually this week going back in with some of my collaborators and you know, retouching some of the demos that we created last year when we created the project. I feel like there was a lot of good records that didn't get completed. And I'm sure that's part of everyone's process, right? Like the records that didn't get completed that could be worked on and reworked in certain areas, whether it's musically, lyrically, melodically. I think there was a lot of good stuff that we left on, I guess you can say, the cutting room floor that we're going to revisit. And you know, there's some ideas that I have that I want to create that I've been sitting on. So no release date for the project, the single, nothing right now. And that's, you know, we're going to work with my team to figure that out, you know, and I know there is, you know, things are time sensitive, but I also, not been in the right headspace the last few months. You know, I could definitely do better in that area, but, I'm, you know, I think like everyone else, just trying to work through shit, trying to figure this shit out, you know, where your heart lies, you know, where your desire lies, you know, where the inspiration lies, where the motivation lies, all that shit, you know, all that, you know, plays a role and takes a toll on you and the pressure of that. So I've not been handling the pressure well, I guess you can say, I could do a lot better with the pressure. So, but the music is done and I have such a passion, strong desire to get it out there and for people to listen to it because I enjoy hearing people's reactions to it, you know, and doing private listening sessions like you and I did, prior to starting this episode. Here I go with the fucking gun again. What I'm really excited about and moving forward is really just giving back to, community, whatever that looks like, you know, youth, the homeless community. We just did an event with our team at A2F Studios. Shout out to A2F Studios, Addicted to Fame, A2F Publishing.
Big shout out.
You know, our team, we pitched in financially, as well as some others outside of the team. Thank you for all your financial contributions. Oh shit, I dropped the gun. Good thing it wasn't loaded. That would have been bad. For your contributions to the event, you know, one of our artists, they're, you know, the twins Murder Rich, shout out to them. Their mom, you know, cooks meals and stuff like that. And, you know, I came to them and said, hey, you know, I know Mom Dukes is cooking meals to sell, you know, sell meals to people and stuff like that. I was like, what if we, you know, contribute and, you know, we create meals for the homeless community. And we did that 2 weeks ago. Created about 90 meals with all the money that we put together between the team, between others that that contributed. We put together about 90 meals. We had 6 cases of water, and we just went to various parts of the Wynwood area, the Overtown area, and we just handed out meals and we had conversations with individuals. And this is what I'm talking about. Like, yo, getting off of this shit right here and having real connection. I'm nobody's special. Nobody's better than the next person. It doesn't take a special person to do that shit. But the gratification that I got from it, it's what I've been yearning for, to be quite honest with you. So I'm looking forward to doing more of that stuff. And even with, as I plan to release the music, I want to be more involved with some mental health organizations, because the whole premise behind Ladue and the Broken and the concept of Ladue and the Broken is it's supposed to be a very communal and inclusive thing. You know, my last name is Ladue and I'm the quote unquote front man and voice of this thing. But I created the Ledoux and the Broken moniker with others in mind, right? And the experience from a musical and creative standpoint has been communal. There's been multiple writers, there's been multiple instrumentalists, and I want to take the opportunity to shout out, you heard me talk about him earlier, Medicine, Pat Corvo, who is my guitarist, and he's amazing. Guayco, James Tony, Amber, you know, MC4, PK, Inc. Like, these are all producers that contributed to the music that will be released. And without them and the future collaborators, I can't do this shit. You know, I like, the music would be nothing without them. So I created this thing to be a communal experience, and I want it to go beyond the music, beyond the art. You know, I think we have this life that we're given. We have a responsibility to one another to look out for one another. You know, again, there's so much division and prejudice and racism rooted in the history of our country and the history of the world. And I, you know, I think we have the ability in the things that we do in our everyday life to combat that. And I'm all about giving back. I'm all about giving to others. Even, you know, I know, you know, when your cup is empty, it's hard to give to others. But what fills my cup up is giving back to others. That's me. I know others aren't like that. So I really just try to give back to others. And with this team, with, you know, A2F Studios, to have the opportunity to give back to the less fortunate, that shit just really, really just drives me. So I'm looking forward to that, doing more things. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, man. And I don't know what better note to wrap up this episode on, of course, than that of your philanthropy. I commend you, my brother. I commend you. Now, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It hits the throat. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes when you do good work, it hits the back of the throat like
Excuse
that, you
me.
Know?
I'm sorry, guys.
But that is very commendable, my
thank
brother.
You. Yeah, no, and I thank you, but I want everyone to know that everyone can do it.
Hell yeah.
I'm not special.
Hell yeah.
None of us are special that are doing this shit. We're just doing it because there is a fulfillment there. There are others that can't provide, so I don't want the pat on the back and the congrats. Nah, do it.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Sit. Do it. We're going to wrap up because my dog's dying over
dying.
Here.
You know what the saying? Fuck is it? It's this. Yeah. Bullet.
Bullet. but my brother, talk to me about social media before we wrap up. Talk to me about social media. Where can the people find you? You know what I'm saying? It's that good old H2O right H2O. There. Or is that Bada Sucia in there? Oh. You know what I'm saying? Talk to me about social media. Where can the people find your journey? Oh, look at that. God.
Ledoux and the Broken.
There you go.
Instagram, Ledoux and shit, I'm really dry. Ledoux and the Broken. That's it. I'm bowing out. I'm done. I'm done. Ledoux and the Broken. Just find me.
There you go.
He's gonna put it at the bottom.
You
somewhere.
See it. You see it on the screen.
Here.
There you go. There you go.
Boom.
There
pop,
you go.
Pop, wherever it is. I'm
ladies
done.
And gentlemen, every Thursday at midnight, you know what it is. You go on Spotify, on Deezer, on Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. But more than anything, on YouTube.
Whenever you post this, I'm gonna be sleeping. I'm just let you
dang,
know.
Hell yeah, the man goes to sleep you, like a 10, right? No, yeah. Done. You know what it is. Every Thursday at midnight. Holla. And it don't matter what the world thinks. You can say how